May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our great God and our Redeemer. Amen. Today we'll be looking at the power in the name of Jesus. And I would like you to turn your Bible with me to the Gospel according to St. John chapter 14. Verses 13 to 14, where we read is on the screen as well. Last Sunday, we talked about power in the blood of Jesus. And we'll talk a little bit about that today again. And each time I think about the access that the blood of Jesus has given to us, it reminds me of having the fog to St. John's, which means, I think for some people, the fog is tied to a particular time, isn't it? Is that true, Iris? Yes. But my own fog is unlimited. It means I can come in by 12 midnight to work. I can come in at any time. It's not tied. Now, the access we have to God through the death of Jesus is not just limited to the minister. We have access, each and every one of us. We can access him 24/7. You can pray to him. You can sing to him. He can speak to you. The text on the screen says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything, anything in my name, and I will do it." Ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. I mean, that sounds really incredible. Anything in my name. That's Jesus speaking. He says, "Ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." And I would like to focus today on, you know, speaking about the power in the name of Jesus and looking at, you know, our prayer. How we often pray, and we said that today, and even earlier on, when I took the first prayer, I ended with the name of Jesus. But these words of Jesus contain remarkable promises. Ask me anything in my name. In our tradition, praying in Jesus' name often refers to a certain formula we add at the end of our prayers. In fact, we are used to hearing, "In Jesus' name, Amen," before meal. And when it is said, "In Jesus' name," you have to open your eyes and start the dinner. And for some, because they've grown with this tradition, they feel really uncomfortable if they don't hear it when someone prays. If someone just prays and ends it without saying "in Jesus' name," some people might be uncomfortable. In many ways, this understanding is correct because true Christian praying should always be in Jesus' name. And in our time of being politically correct, there's a tendency to deliberately drop the name of Jesus from Christian prayers. But that raises a whole lot of questions about what really is it that makes prayer Christian. So there's a sense in which our prayer should always be offered in the name of Jesus. But praying in Jesus' name means more than simply adding a phrase, "in Jesus' name," at the end of the prayer. It is far more than that. It has a lot of implications. Now, before we go into that, let us think a little bit about the importance of name. You know, I read a book many years ago that talks about that one's name is the sweetest name in human language. So we like people to call us by our name. Not necessarily by our Sunday names, but by our regular names. In our society today, and of course, in contemporary society, names really are no longer carrying too many, you know, people are no longer attaching too many meanings to their names. And so you could have Joe, Jack, you could have people, Bob. And each time I go out to the community, I'm always keen to ask people, your name is Sandra. Sorry, Sandra. what's the short form of Sandra? And some will say Sally. Because I've been to the hospital and I was looking for Sandy, and I looked for him and I never knew it is Alexander. Anyway, so people answer different kinds of names, but in the Bible times, it was different. Names in the Bible often represent the character, the personality, origin, and destiny of different people. Names were not chosen lightly. It meant a lot. Jacob, for instance, means he who supplants. Nabal means fool. Peter means rock. And then the Lord means master. Jesus means savior. And Christ means the anointed one sent from God. And so when we call out to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are actually making a declaration. And the declaration is that he's our master, he's our savior, and the anointed one sent from God. So it is not just an empty name. Again, names also represent authority. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45, during the encounter between David and Goliath, David boldly tells Goliath where his power is coming from. He says, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel." And in Proverbs, where our memory verse is taken from today, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved." Now, David was actually saying to this great army, great soldier, "I am not intimidated by your sword or by your size." And he said, "The Lord is by my side, and he will give you into my hands." He was making a declaration. And we also see this when the police, when they want to come into your house, ordinarily, they do not have authority on themselves, but because they represent the government, because of their uniform, you just have to obey. And that's why often when the police drive past, when you are driving, there's always a tendency for people to be. Is that not true? Everybody sits up. You look at your drive, your speed, you see if you are on the right track. Once you see them, or you look behind on the side mirror, and you see the police coming, everybody tends to sit up. Why? Because they are representing an authority. So people sit up. So what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? What does it really mean to pray in Jesus' name? To pray in Jesus' name means confessing our faith in Jesus as the way to God. It is a confession that, look, like Anne told us earlier on, that's the way to God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 20 tells us that we now have confidence to come into the very presence of God by virtue of the blood of Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, a thick curtain separated the holy place from the most holy place, which only the high priest could enter, and only once in a year during the time, the Day of Atonement. But now, in the death of Christ, Christ has rent the veil and has given us access into God's presence. And so it is exactly in this context that every Christian prayer is to be offered in Jesus' name. For it is only through the virtue of what Jesus has accomplished that any of us may come into the presence of God. It is not by our right, it is not by our wisdom, it is not by our family background, but it is by reason of what Jesus has accomplished that we are able to come into God's presence. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says, "There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So it is through Christ Jesus that we have access. Christ gives us the password. It is through him that we have access to God. And so we come to God through him and him alone. Again, why do we pray in the name of Jesus? Praying in the name of Jesus is acknowledging that his name is supreme in the universe. His name is the highest. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11 says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And so by virtue of Jesus' victorious resurrection, like we sang earlier on, an ascension into heaven, God has exalted him to the highest place in the universe. He has the greatest name in the universe. No one can be compared to him. His name is the greatest name of all. And one day, all creation will bow down before that great name. One day, and it reminds me of this song, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus is the Lord. Every knee must bow, every tongue shall confess, Jesus Christ is the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus is the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus is the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus Christ is the Lord. So one day, every knee will confess, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Lord. Again, when we pray in the name of Jesus, it is a declaration that we are submitting our will to his will because he knows what is best for us. Soon after Jesus gave this promise that we read, that is on the screen, Jesus was agonizing in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. There he prayed that the cup of suffering might be removed from him. Each time the Lord submitted by saying, not my will, but your will be done. And so to pray in Jesus' name means that we submit our will to the will of Christ, as Christ submitted his will to his heavenly Father. To pray in Jesus' name is to pray exactly what Jesus will pray in any particular situation. I am sure we know, what will Jesus do? WWJD. What will Jesus pray in the particular situation that we are in as individuals? Maybe just to wrap up now, praying in Jesus' name should drive us back to the Word, to God's Word. Earlier on, it was announced about the different study groups in our congregation. We need to be people of the Word, people who are grounded in God's Word. So that way we'll be able to not only sing God's Word, we'll be able to pray God's words. Psalm 37 verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Many years ago, as a young man in the youth ministry, in the congregation where I grew, so we're leading in prayers. We're, you know, prayer team leaders. And one of the days, I was doing my personal studies, and I came into, I saw this scripture, Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight. Delight yourself enjoy, be amazed. And I said, wow, it was like rhema to me that day. I said, Lord, you're saying I should delight myself in you. I should be lost. I should study your word. I should seek to know you. I should seek to follow you. And that was what I felt God was saying to me that day. And as I was reading this scripture again today, before this service, over the week, it was just the same thing that the Lord was placing in my heart. Delight yourself. Elijah, delight yourself in the Lord, and I will give you the desires of your heart. And in delighting myself in the Lord, it makes me get in tune with what God wants for my life. It makes me accept what God has ordained for my life. It makes me submit myself to God's will and expectations for my life. Delight yourself in the Lord. St. John's, delight yourself in the Lord. You could place your family's name here. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. We should fill our hearts with God's word, and our prayer will soon reflect God's priorities. Praying in Jesus' name should cause us to pray more for God's glory and less for our own gratification. It is never wrong to pray for our own needs. But if our focus is on God's glory, it will help us put our own needs in the proper perspective. Let us delight ourselves in the Lord. Let us believe that Christ has paid the ultimate sacrifice for us, that we might have access to him. Now, we pray for one another. We have prayer ministries in St. John's. We have different times of prayer. But you can as well pray for yourself. Pray for needs. Pray for families. Pray and become an agent in your workplace to help others who might be struggling. Delight yourself in the Lord. Amen.